A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Arkham Files, an actual play Call of Cthulhu RPG podcast, featuring Seth Morrison as Tallahassee Turner.
Hey Billy, let's run out in the forest together. That worked out for me really well last time.
Abel Morrison as Detective Billy McConnell.
You've seen what we've seen. That deadlight, the butthole monster.
Donovan Ballard as Dr. Simeon Can't Stand You Bits.
What in the world? Where did you find that?
Peter Morrison as Dominic Drunkard.
We did establish there's no flamethrower, which is a crying shame.
Sam Morrison as Major Frederick Aloysius Bakersfield.
As soon as the going gets tough, the Tallahassee gets going.
And I am your game master, the keeper of arcane lore, Alex Morrison. Now grab onto some dice and your sanity. Let's roll.
There are others out there that would recognize things. Others that are interested in my work, Bakersfield. You're not the only one.
Others? How could there be others? Isn't one Corbett enough for the world?
You think you've seen evil, Bakersfield? You have no idea. There are other things out there, Bakersfield. God, the devil. These are older. Much, much older. And so much worse.
As hard as I tried, I couldn't get the things Corbett told me out of my head. That thing we found in his basement kept me up at night. To think that there are other things out there like it. Other things that are worse. Now, we got lucky going down into Corbett's basement. What we saw down there was the last thing I ever expected to see. We can't afford to take that chance again. Whatever's waiting for us up in New Jerusalem, well, we've got to bring everything we've got.
Some things are made to do, like you, a little bit, Bakersfield, created to do violence. But some things are the perfect form of it. It's beautiful.
All right, this should be far enough. They thought I was crazy for thinking I could take down a squad of Germans with nothing but a net. Well, look at me now.
There are others out there that would recognize things. Others that are interested in my work, Bakersfield, you're not the only one. People I thought I only shared some of my interests. This occult fad that's going on. But no.
Alright, so first things first. I gotta pour the salt out and create the circle. Huh? Okay. Now I've got to draw these weird patterns and start chanting. Alright, here goes nothing.
Varellus, Libarum, Aniesio, Epergus, Acreusum, Maloisha, Zecul, Zantarum, Reuim, Baleorium, Acibus, Zeism, Taniakian, Caliasio, Teulium, Treiashon.
I've been in here for months, Bakersfield. Months. And here you are, still running around in circles.
All right, I said the words. Where is it? Where is it? I didn't do anything. Stupid salt circle.
Try again.
Huh? Who said that? All right, if this doesn't work this time, I'm out of here. Forget the salt circle.
Varellus, Libarum, Aniesio, Epergus, Acreusum, Maloisha, Zecul, Zantarum, Reuim, Baleorium, Acibus, Zeism, Taniakian, Caliasio, Teulium, Treiashon.
What do you want from me, Master?
Okay. Hello there. yes. What can you tell me about the creature in New Jerusalem?
I know nothing of what you speak.
It's some kind of monster, some abomination created by a madman named Mr. Corbett.
Yes, I know of him. Some kind of new abomination, if I had to venture a guess.
And that's it? Is there nothing else you can tell me?
That is all I know. Be careful.
Okay, well, be gone with you.
Gladly.
While I didn't learn much from the creature, I did learn one thing. I can summon it anytime I want. Maybe the creature will come in handy. Gotta get it right on the first try this time. There's no room for mistakes. Alright, stay calm. Remember that you've done this before. Just stay focused and you'll be fine. Just breathe. Remember what you're fighting for. You've got this.
Varellus, Libarum, Aniasio, Epergus.
Major Aloysius Bakersfield, you are speeding along north. You are maybe about halfway to Jameson's cabin. You're on the dirt road, you're heading north. You do remember and you spot another lane leading off to a farm, a farmstead that you passed. If you remember on the way here, Jameson told you that was the Layton farm, that you are coming up on the lane, turning out that way in a moment on your way up to Jameson's cabin. Do you do anything or do you just drive by?
I feel like I need to just keep driving. That we're going to have to make a stand in New Salem. And that's the best way we're going to be able to protect these people is by making a stop, stopping them there.
Okay.
Plus, I'm a stranger. I don't think they're going to... I drive up, there's monsters coming, get in my car!
As you summon a monster.
I roll up and I'm like, Mabajala, Shigala, Hamaga. I'm still chanting. Gesturing wildly to get in my car. Yeah, I just drive by.
All right, so Bakersfield, all these thoughts flash through your head and you grit your teeth and steel your resolve as you drive past the lane leading off to the Layton farm, feeling a pang of regret that you might not be able to save these people if they are still there. As you're driving up, Major Bakersfield, you decided, as you told me, that you would like to start summoning. You told me that you would like to start casting Summon the Steed of Stars on your way up there. So, Bakersfield, how many magic points would you like to spend on this spell? You could spend anywhere from one to all of your magic points. How many magic points do you have?
They regenerate like 1 hour, dude. Spend them all.
Yeah, like one every hour. So, also, speaking of Tallahassee, since it's about 8 p.m., you cast your thing at...
like 8 a.m.
9? Yeah, so Tallahassee, your magic points are probably refilled completely.
Nice.
At this point. Yeah, it's been more than 10 hours. Anyway, sorry. So, Major Bakersfield, how many magic points are you going to spend on this spell?
I'm going to spend all 10.
Okay. All right, so the way that this spell works is that for every 1 point of magic that you spend on this spell, you get 10% chance to successfully summon this creature. So if you spend all 10 magic points, you will have a 100% chance of summoning this creature, unless you fumble your roll, which is anything a 96 and above. What this also does, Bakersfield, is for every magic point you spend, it costs an extra 5 minutes to cast the spell. The idea being that the longer you spend casting this spell, the higher the likelihood you are to succeed at it. So, with those 10 magic points, that means the spell is also going to cost or take 50 minutes to completely cast. You did tell me that you were starting this just as you were heading out, so that means you should be completing this spell right about the time you get to Jameson's cabin. Also, Bakersfield, this spell costs 1d4 sanity points.
Alright.
I'm going to need you to roll that now.
Do you want me to roll for succeed first before I roll that?
No, I want you to roll the sanity right now. You roll it when you spend it. You spend the sanity and the magic points, so you're... okay, you lose 2 sanity points.
I'm down to 33.
You are down to 33. And you are down to 0 magic points, Bakersfield. So, Bakersfield, as you're driving and you are speeding along, you are doing your best to focus on your driving while also giving enough attention to this spell as you begin chanting the words of the ritual in order to summon whatever this insane, monstrous creature is that you have seen once before. Bakersfield, what does that chant sound like?
Oh my gosh. 94. I rolled a 94.
How much luck you got?
Ooh, I succeed. I didn't roll a fumble. I succeeded by 2 points.
Oh my gosh.
Good thing wow. I used all 10 magic points.
That was
points.
The only way he would fail? Is
that was
if
the
fumbled?
Only way to fail that was if he rolled a 96 or above.
Wow, way to come cut it as close as possible.
Major Bakersfield, you came within 2 points of failing your 100% success rate spell.
That is insane.
Nothing by the skin of my teeth.
Bakersfield, you are struggling to focus with all of this going on, with the stress of getting up to Jameson in time, the stress of whatever is coming towards you right now, the regret from passing the Layton farm without being able to do anything about it. As you said, who's going to believe a random stranger that's yelling that monsters are coming? You're focusing on your driving, you're trying to focus on your chanting, and you can feel it almost slipping away from you, but you manage to barely hang on to these words as you're chanting them on your way up, getting closer to the cabin of your friend and comrade, Grant Jameson. One thing you notice as you are approaching there, Jameson's cabin is deep in the woods back up here on these roads. And as you start pulling into these woods, you realize it's a lot darker in these woods than it was outside of them, and got darker a lot sooner in here than it did across the rest of the area.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
All right. Dom Dunkard, Dr. Simeon, Tallahassee Turner, you guys are in Denny's. You guys have finished fortifying. You have everything boarded up. The windows are boarded on both floors. It has been dark now for probably about 30 minutes. You hear a lot of chaos going on outside. Along with Goodman Gray, his four men, you have Abraham Harvey, the general store owner, who seems somewhat cowardly, though he's tentatively holding a firearm in his hand. You have Ishmael Graves, though while he's old, He looks like a man who's got some guts and knows how to handle himself. Over at one of the tables, while he's holding an old service revolver that appears to not have seen much use since maybe the Civil War, and is drinking way too much alcohol, is the former constable Robert Morgan.
Is Dom with him?
Yeah, Dom's over there talking to him, asking him if he knows how to work a flamethrower.
So you just pull this trigger here, right?
You gotta prime it. You gotta prime it first.
You have Daniel Ames, the butcher. He's holding a rifle, and he also has an assortment of knives around his person.
Is he standing near the baker and the candlestick maker?
He is standing near the baker, who is Ishmael.
I already made that joke.
What?
I already made that joke.
You did?
Yeah.
When?
Why are you stealing his jokes?
Because they're funnier when I say them.
Yeah.
Oh,
they are. They are funny. You have Constable Ezekiel Dawkins, who has an old Colt single action army that he is holding, very similar to Tallahassee Turner's. Tallahassee's kind of looking at his and then looking back at his own, looking at stupid Ezekiel Dawkins dumb hat and long coat, like he's some sort of cool cowboy adventurer. But he looks like some kind of cheap knockoff.
Definitely ain't famous, that's for sure.
How many books does he have?
Exactly.
None.
Probably zero. I've never heard of him at all. You've never heard of him at all, Tallahassee.
Nope.
He looks like some sort of dime store knockoff of a Tallahassee Turner.
He just wants to be me.
The mayor's there. Goodman Gray is there, though you don't see any weapons on his person.
It's because he's a shapeshifter.
He is the weapon.
He is the danger. Okay, is there anything you guys want to do? You hear there's a lot of talking.
I tell the everybody mayor's over in the... to shut up, and I'm going to do a listen roll to see if I can hear any pitter-patters of some puffer-jai.
Have you guys barricaded the door yet? Billy McConnell has not yet returned, and neither has Major Bakersfield. Are you guys closing up the door and barricading it for the siege? Or are you waiting?
I went out, and I drew a couple of X's on the map.
Yeah.
So the big X with a circle, that's where... Can't stand your bits. Did the beefing.
That's where I beefed.
That's where he beefed.
You did a beef. Well, didn't you do a beef trail leading you over here?
Yeah, I beefed all the way over to Denny's from the center of town.
Okay, yeah, you beefed all the way from the center of town up to Denny's.
The butcher and I beefed all the way to Denny's.
Well, yeah, I'm assuming you beefed every few feet.
Well, in order for this to work, I had a beef and then he had a beef. I can't believe how much beefing we did.
Alternating beefs.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you can't just continuously beef from one end of town to the other.
You'd be surprised what a butcher and a psychologist can do when it comes to beefing.
I assume there had to be some intermittent beefing. All right, so we got...
Let's just say that it was a thorough beefing that happened.
All right. We have a thorough beefing from the center of town leading off to Denny's.
Yeah.
It looks like a grand slam in the making.
Oh, yeah. So you could call it a meat lover's...
Meat lover's skillet,
yeah.
that's what Can't Stand Your Bits is calling this trap. It's the meat lover's skillet.
They'll never see it coming.
It does look like a panhandle on the map.
Alright, so what are these booty traps you're laying out here, Tallahassee?
Booby traps.
That's what I said, booby traps.
Yeah, so the X's are the booty traps that I was laying
out. Booby traps.
Booby traps.
So the other X's are where I beefed on cars. Those are the X's where I beefed on cars and also planted dynamite.
Wait, didn't you have a book called The Beefing?
Yeah.
Tallahassee Turner and the Beef Traps.
We're going to have 20 minutes of usable audio in this session.
You realize the name of the episode's going to be The Beefing.
All right, I want to make sure that there wasn't just beef in the butcher's shop, okay? There was also some pork. So I'm assuming there's a fair amount of pork in there.
Oh, yeah, the butcher and I porked the crap out of that place.
Yeah.
He used a sausage. There was some pork sausage. There is a variety of meats.
Grabbed onto some pork chops, ribs, shoulder, pork shoulder.
Grabbed onto that pork shoulder and...
Yeah. Yep. Okay, so you parked some cars there and you dynamited them and beefed them? Okay.
Sam.
So we got some beefy vehicles and some beefy booty traps.
Booby traps.
Sick.
That's what I said. Beefy booty traps. Okay, all right. All right, so Tallahassee Turner is out there kind of setting this stuff up right now also. So we got Dom Drunkard and Dr. Simeon. Let's see, is there anything to roll here for setting up these traps?
Roll for beef?
Oh, Sam. Yeah, do I need to have you roll for beef? I guess you're just... laying down dynamite and running some fuses back from him, so that's not exactly complicated. So I don't think there's anything. All right. Okay, so Tallahassee, you're out there doing that right now. Dr. Simeon and Dom Duncard, you're inside. Do you want to... Is there anything you want to do inside there? Do you want to talk to anybody? Do you want to...
Yeah, I want a crash course on how to use the flamethrower so that I can actually use the flamethrower, and I really want good stats in flamethrowing.
All right, well, you don't really have enough time to get good stats in flamethrowing at the moment. Like, sorry to break it to you, my dude. But because there actually is just a straight-up flamethrower skill, firearm flamethrower.
What if you also set up the flamethrower out there with the beef booby traps?
Booby traps.
That's what I said, booby traps. Beef booby traps. So okay, so that you don't burn down the tavern.
How would I set up the flamethrower to go off by
a
itself?
A rope.
That doesn't make any sense.
Let me
a rope.
So I got an idea. I can disguise you. So you just have to go out there on the
let's
ground.
Let's beef me.
And I'll beef on you. And you
cover me in... Wait, that's a bad idea.
Get inside the baby shark, cut open its arms and legs and stuff, and wear it like a suit.
I'll use the baby shark as a suit.
You are the shortest of us all.
Yeah, and I will be a decoy, and then I will jump up and flamethrower all of the...
So I'm fine. So, Pete, I'm fine with giving you like a base range of using it, because, you know, like your fire, like handguns and rifle and shotgun have that base range on there. So I'm fine with giving you a base range in your flamethrower, so you don't have just like a 1% or a 0.
Right. I'm liking this.
You know,
so
I mean, it's a flamethrower. It's a similar concept. You just point and pull the trigger. I don't know actually how to shoot a flamethrower, so I could be way off.
You got to prime it. You got to pump it and prime
it. You
got
to pump it and prime it.
And then you can and you light it, and then the pressure pushes it out.
When the pressure pushes it out, it goes scoop.
Okay, so your regular, like, firearms rifle is 25%. Can I just have the 25?
Sure. I will give you the 25.
Yes, 25.
And that might be way generous, but who cares? But that's
right.
Fine. I'm fine with that.
I'm flamethrowing all the beef, so it can be nice
and
medium.
One of the... Oh, nice, yeah. That helps get the smell out there. Okay, so yeah, one of Goodman Gray's men is giving you kind of a rundown on how to run it. So this is how you get your 25, your base percent here is them giving you the basic rundown on how to run a flamethrower. All right, so Dr. Simeon.
Can I roll a listen?
Yeah, go for it. What are you listening for?
Pitter-patter of the smoothies.
Okay.
So yeah, 60 out of 70 on a listen.
Okay. Yeah. So you're listening. You don't hear, the pitter patter of smoothie feet.
Do I hear anything?
But you do, you hear a lot. Yeah. You hear a lot of chaos outside. And you hear gunshots going off, screams, you know. It's all muffled. It's all outdoors. But, yeah, there's a lot of chaos going on right now. You hear some of the conversations going around. People kind of talking to each other. The constable and Goodman Gray are kind of having an exchange. You hear them, you know, kind of mumbling to each other. They keep looking over towards the mayor, who's looking very nervous, and he's just kind of standing over in the corner near the bar. He glances over at you, kind of makes eye contact with you for a second. And he looks over to Goodman Gray and Constable Dawkins for a second, and then looks back at you, and he looks extremely nervous.
I guess I can't really roll a psychology, can I? Because I don't know what's actually going on or what they're saying.
Yeah, you can't hear. You can hear that they are talking, but you can't make out any words as to what they're discussing.
Can I roll another listen, and if I get like a hard or extreme success, can I read their lips or something?
You don't have the skill for reading lips. You'd have to get closer, and then try to overhear.
Can
what
I stealth
saying.
Over there?
Yeah.
All right.
It wouldn't necessarily be like a sneak. This would more be like just trying to look
inconspicuous as
nonchalant, you know, and yeah, inconspicuous and unsuspicious as you go.
So, okay. You go. I'm probably not going to get it because I never get my stealth, but all right, here we go.
All right. It's worth a shot.
15, baby. Woo! Out of 22.
You freaking guy.
You can check.
Freaking
you can
guy.
Check. You can check.
Somebody
you
double
can check
that eat cheating.
My butt.
Cheating cheater.
He's pretty freaking lucky. That's 15.
Dude, how? How?
I'll give you two reasons, Alex. There's one. There's two.
I don't want either of those reasons. Stop flipping me off, Donovan.
Gosh. Doctor's orders.
You're flipping me off already with your dice rolls. Every dice roll you give me is like a bird.
Okay, so I'm closer to him.
Okay, so you very weirdly...
Why weirdly?
...are so... somehow managed to inconspicuously meander your way over. You're kind of just like... You got like a hammer and like a board, and you're just like hammering it on like a table. Like, and you move over and kind of do it like at another table closer by. And they don't, for some reason, notice you. Freaking suspenders-clad psychologist ninja. So as you get closer, yeah, you do start to pick up on some of their conversation. And you hear Gray and Zeke Dawkins. Says, you know, absolutely, Mr. Dawkins, there could be a position for you in our organization. As you can see, the good mayor has most likely outlived his usefulness, especially with the fall of this place and the culmination of our efforts here with the acquisition of the creature. We will not be needing his services any longer. I can understand that. Not that he was ever all that effective as it was. You know, he's an idiot. Gray, you know that. He's a moron. I did suspect, which though he was a useful moron. His stupidity actually made him quite handy. He didn't ask a lot of questions, which is what I like. If you understand my meaning there, Dawkins. I believe I do. Well, Dawkins, if you would like to solidify your place in our organization, then I would like to see you handling this loose end before the night is over. I can see my way to doing that there, Mr. Gray. Shouldn't be any too much trouble. Everything going on here. Don't you worry. Just keep my seat warm at the table. So, and then they kind of glance up and they both, Dawkins glances over and kind of looks over towards the mayor. And they kind of look around. He goes, Gray walks off, goes over to talk to one of his men. And Dawkins kind of goes and peeks through one of the cracks in the boarded up window nearby. He checks his revolver again, checks the ammo that he's got on his belt. What do you do, Simeon?
So right away, I go over to the mayor and start talking to him about what I just heard.
So as you walk up, he looks around, he looks at you, he's looking nervous. He looks over to the driver that's nearby. The driver gets in between the two of you, and he's like, "Oh, what do you need, Doc? What are you looking for here?"
Oh, I just, you know.
You gonna help you?
No, you can't help me at all. I was just gonna go talk to the mayor real quick. I got some strategies I want to go over with him with.
Go over with him with?
I don't think you need to do that. I think he's a busy man. He's he's the mayor. He's the mayor of a mayor of an important town. He doesn't need to be dealing with this right now. He's got a lot on his
mind. Matter of fact, he does have to be dealing with this because he is, in fact, the mayor of this town.
So how about you just do me a favor and get out of my way?
Flash your suspenders at him.
Why don't you just do me a favor and hit the brakes?
Why don't you do me a favor
punch him. Leaf.
Get off the brakes.
Well, why don't you do me a favor and get out of here?
Why don't you do me a...
Slap him in the face with a piece of beef.
So, I'm like, oh my.
Hey, doctor.
How you doing, Mayor?
What do you need? Nah, Mayor, it's all right. Yeah, I got this. Why don't you just hang back there? You're good.
I don't think you need to tell him what to do.
No, it's okay. I don't mind. I don't mind talking to the good doctor here. He's a psychologist, right? And I know it's a soft science, but I maybe could use a little bit of a soothing.
You know what?
Moment.
I was going to tell you that stressful situation. These guys are going to murder you, but you know, screw you, man. I'm out of here.
He's a soothie. Simeon's a soothie.
He's trying to. He's... I could use a soothie.
I just wanted to go over with some strategy, just so you're in on the loop. Being the mayor of the town and all, I thought it would be prudent information for you to know right away.
I think that sounds like a great idea, Doctor. Doctor can't stand your bits. Strategies and whatnot. Very necessary at the moment, the mayor, to know what's going on and have a battle plan ready to defend his town. Yeah, isn't that right? No, that's not right, Mayor. I think you're good. Doctor, I think you need to get out of here.
Well, I can't go anywhere. We're barricaded in this place, so...
Why don't you just walk over there to the other side? Look at that. There's lots of space over there.
Mayor, take a walk with me over here, would you?
No, he's not going to do that.
He's a free agent. He can do what he wants.
He's a busy man.
You said that, but he clearly wants to talk to me, so why don't you back off?
Look, Doctor, I'm telling you right now, you're not going to talk to him. I'm not going to let him go. You need to get out of here. We got a lot more things to worry about at the moment. We got a lot of things happening. Why don't you worry about that, and why don't you worry about your own skin right now?
All right, so I'm going to go talk to Percival real quick. I'm like, all right. I'll go to the other side of the room.
Okay.
So I go over to Percival.
Like, Doctor?
Hey, you know, Purse.
Yeah.
I just heard some very disturbing news that the constable and Graywood, whatever his name
Goodman
is.
Gray. Goodman Gray.
Goodman Gray is going to kill the mayor.
Okay.
Tonight.
Okay.
The mayor has some valuable...
That's probably the least disturbing news I've heard tonight.
Okay.
Anyway, continue.
Okay, well, I have the least disturbing news to tell you tonight.
Okay.
They're going to kill the mayor.
Okay.
During all the hubbub. He obviously has some valuable information about this organization that Gray has that he's trying to recruit the constable into. So, I need to tell the mayor, and we need to find a way to protect him.
No, you're right, Doctor. I know of the organization. I have a few contacts, but they're very low level. And if we could get some more information about who might be in charge, somebody who's higher up on this, that we could use to exploit.
Well, I know Goodman Gray is up there, because he is definitely recruiting for them.
He seems important, yes, but he is a hard customer, I can tell you that. I've seen a lot of hard cases, and he's one of the hardest.
Well, we need to figure this out before it gets too dark.
Look, you said he had information, right? Is there any way you can make him tell you?
Goodman?
The mayor.
No, the mayor.
Yeah, well, I can't get to the mayor because they got one of their goons protecting or keeping him away from him. So that's what I came to talk to you about. I need you to create a distraction or get the goon away.
Okay. Yeah, if I can get you to the mayor, can you... You're not going to have a lot of time, and Goodman Gray's no fool. He's going to have an idea of what we're trying to do. Can you work fast enough that you're only going to have one shot at this?
I notice these guys talking, and I come over to chat with them.
What's up, Dom? Did you get the flamethrower figured out?
I did. I now have 25%.
So I fill Dom in on what's going on and what we need to do.
So maybe we have some sort of distraction. You can go beef on them while I talk to the mayor.
Yeah, I can beef right on his chest.
The beef's all gone. It's out in the street.
Don't worry about that, don't worry about that, Doctor. Dom and I, we can handle the distraction. You just need to get to the mayor, and you need to get that information as quick as possible. You need to find out who is the one calling the shots, who's been paying him all this time to keep an eye on this situation.
Done.
All right, we go beef all over them.
I could use my command of the wizard.
You very much could use command of the wizard. You basically get one command. But that would be, but if you succeed on that, he would be forced to do what you say.
Yeah.
It costs one magic point and one point of sanity to cast command of the wizard.
Okay. All right. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the command of the wizard then.
Okay. But you also have not cast this spell.
I know.
Before. So
let's get this going.
There might be a little shenanigans to do this. All right. Sweet. I like this. I'm excited to find out what's going to happen when you roll some dice. Except for it's going to see if you can get like a two.
So he needs a hard pal roll, right?
Yeah, but he's going to do that once he gets up there and casts the spell. So, all right. So you guys get a plan. You guys all put your hands together in the middle.
Ready, break.
Ready?
Wait, hold on. Should I do it on the mayor just to get all the information that I need from him, or should I do it on the guy to get him away from the mayor?
Wait, who's with the mayor? Who's
so the driver's with the mayor. Yeah. He won't let me talk to the mayor.
The driver is
one of the goons.
You.
Yeah, he's beef blocking me. So I either gotta use the command on him and get him away, or I can use the command on the mayor and get all the information while you guys distract the guy.
I feel like either one would.
I guess it doesn't matter. All right, yeah, I'm just gonna use it on the goon.
You gonna use it on the goon?
Yeah.
So you don't want these guys to make a distraction?
Yeah, we'll make the distraction. You use Commander the Wizard on the mayor, and he will tell you all that you need to know.
Okay, and that is, I need to know who's the head of the organization, and that's what I need to know.
Yeah, like any information you can get out of who's giving him orders, and how we can find them, and anything you can find out about the Devereaux.
You know, scratch, yeah, let's just talk about the Devereaux.
All right,
I'm just going to ask him, tell me everything you know about the organization.
And the Devereaux.
It's got to be more specific than that.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I only got one command.
Yeah, you
got to. So it needs to be...
ask about the boss.
Tell me who's paying you.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that'll work.
Because he might not know who the actual boss is.
So what's going to be our distraction, Percy?
don't worry, Junkar. Just follow my lead. Let's do this.
All right, I follow his lead.
Okay, so Dom and Percy, you guys walk over near the driver. And he positions himself on the other side of the driver from you. And then Percival kind of walks up and bumps into you and the driver. He's like, "Look out, Drunkard, I am walking here."
"Well, maybe you need to walk on the other side of town where the smoothies aren't get eaten."
"Maybe you should walk straightly and not drunkenly like you always do, Drunkard."
"Well, maybe you..."
And then he pushes you a little bit.
And then I kind of shove him back, but, you know, the driver... I'm getting, you know, a good portion of the driver then pushing him. "Oh yeah, well maybe you need to kiss my butt."
"Oh, whoa. Those are fighting words, Drunkard."
"Maybe that's the reason that you're so obsessed with the smoothies is because you are a smoothie."
"You take that back. You take that back, Drunkard. Those are really the last words you've ever spoken. Your mom's a smoothie."
"Oh, I'll take your mom back behind the woodshed."
"You got too far, Drunkard. Your mom's a smoothie. You were barfed out of your mom's mouth." And then he starts jumping into you. He starts jumping into you, but jumping into the driver who's in between the two of you guys. He says, "Hold me back. Hold me back." And he starts shoving it. You guys are shoving into the driver in between you guys. He grabs onto your shoulders around the driver, and he pulls you down to the ground as you guys start wrestling.
We tackle the driver together.
Take that and that, drunkard.
I pretend like I'm punching Percy, and I punch the driver.
You're a ne'er-do-well and a scofflaw.
You're a nothing but a...
Okay, Dr. Simeon, what are you doing?
My mind went blank. You're nothing
all right,
but
I'm
a brigand.
I'm casting the Command of the Beast. Do I need to do a power roll now?
Did you say the Command of the Beast?
Yeah, so the guy in the middle is like, wait, what are you guys doing? Get out of here. Get off me. Get off me. So Dr. Simeon, once you see them kind of topple to the ground, you...
I run over to the mayor.
Yeah. Dr. Simeon just makes a beeline straight towards the mayor. And he's looking at this commotion on the ground. He looks up at you. You guys make eye contact. And Dr. Simeon, roll your hard pal roll. I need you to spend one magic point and one point of sanity.
Do it.
All right. Down to 63 on sanity, 11 on magic points.
Okay, your pal is 60. You need to get 30 or below. What'd you get?
I got a 69, but I do have a lot of luck.
So you have a couple 39. Options in this situation. You have to get... Yeah, you can spend 39 luck. I don't know if you can actually spend luck on a casting roll, but I don't remember off the top of my head. But
can I push the roll?
You can push the roll.
Okay.
Dr. Simeon. And if you push the roll, you will succeed in casting the spell. You have to pay the cost of the spell again, so that'll be another magic point and another sanity point.
Another sanity. Okay.
But if you fail, there can be some dire consequences, including, some dire consequences that you're not going to find out unless you fail casting your spell.
Well, I don't think if I already failed, I don't want to do that.
Well, you fail. This is if you push. But the thing is, though, you push the roll and you cast the spell again, you succeed casting the spell. So no matter what, you will succeed on casting the spell. But if you fail your hard pal roll, you'll have to deal with some extra consequences. But you will succeed casting the spell.
But I don't want those consequences, even if I succeed, because I could persuade him with a good enough story to tell him to tell me what I need to know, because
don't be
he's going to die. So I think I'm just going to beeline it to him while they're scuffling and just kind of tell him, like, you're the dead at the end of the night. I need you to tell me everything you know, and we'll do our best to protect you.
This is true. Or you could do the cool dramatic thing.
Oh my gosh. Fine.
Remember how you fought an alien space spider?
Yeah, it sucked.
It was no, not Dr. Simeon, I'm not gonna make you do what you don't want to do. But so
just
it's
flash
your
beef at him and persuade him.
Oh man. Alright, I'm going for the power roll.
The alternative though too is that if you whenever you try to cast this spell again in the future, unless you go back and completely relearn the spell, it will be a pushed cast roll. So,
That's the dire consequence then?
No. It's just after you failed it the first time, unless you go back and completely relearn the spell all over again, if you try and cast the spell again, that will be considered the pushed cast roll. Even if you tried it again, in 2 weeks, it would still be that same pushed cast roll.
All right.
So either you're going through this now or the next time you try and cast the spell, which, is fine because it might not be in as dangerous of a situation. Or you can go back and relearn the spell all over again.
All right. I'm just going to go ahead and do it.
All right.
Down to 62 sanity, 10 magic points. Here we go.
91.
Oh! Okay.
Oopsie.
All right.
Your head explodes.
All right, who's paying you? And then...
Okay, so Dr. Simi, you cast the spell a second time, so I need you to take one more magic point down and one more sanity down.
I did.
So now, okay. All right. And now I need you to roll a
D. 62.
I need you to roll a D6.
Oh, jeez. Two.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, Dr. Simeon, you walk up to him and you make eye contact. And, oh, yeah, there's one more aspect of this spell that I forgot. But we'll do that in one second. You make eye contact with the mayor for just a second. And, you get the form of the spell in your head that you read from the book, and you speak your command out loud towards the mayor as you release your will on the spell. At first, it feels like it hits this kind of brick wall in your mind as you're trying to force your will out in the way that it explained it in the tome that you read. And it's not working, and for a second, you feel like maybe you're just going to give up and walk away, and then you decide instead you're going to... Instead, you buckle down and you push through this wall in your mind, and it breaks. It cracks through, and you feel your will propel out from your mind and go directly into the mayor who's standing in front of you. There seems to be some sort of stronger, solid connection that is made in your eye contact together. And when this happens, you say to him,
"Who is paying you the money to watch Corbin and Shep?"
Okay. And as you say that, okay. So your part of the penalty is you have to. It's going to cost you magic points equal to the magic points spent times what you rolled on the D6.
Two.
Okay, so two more magic points and two more sanity points.
Okay. So I'm down to 8 and 60.
Yeah, and also you feel there's some kind of strange ripple that goes out from you. And you hear in the walls the squeaks of a few mice as this ripple goes out. That's all the effect that you seem to see from it. But now, I need you to make an opposed roll from your POW against the mayor's POW to see if you can successfully command him with your spell.
With your POW-ness.
Oh, don't fail me now. 8. Freaking A. It's extreme success.
The mayor rolled a 79.
So heavens.
There's that Dr. Simeon rolling. Back at it. So after you push through the brick wall in your own mind, it comes in contact very shortly with what feels like a tissue paper willpower that is the mayor's. But the force of your powerful will, Dr. Simeon, just crashes right through that of Mayor Jedediah Marsh, and your command goes directly into his mind. Right now, Dr. Simeon can't stand your bits. I need you to roll a D10.
Oh, boy. One.
One? Okay. You can permanently increase your POW by 1 point.
Oh my gosh. Alright, 61 it is. Technically I rolled a D10, so that would be a 10.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
No, just one. Okay.
Just one.
So the command pushes through into the mayor's mind, and he looks at you, and you see his eyes dilate for a second. And then, as the command enters into his mind, he looks at you and he opens his mouth and he says, "Mayor Sydell of Arkham."
No wonder he was friends with Corbett.
Yeah. Info. Didn't I call that Billy at the very yells beginning?
From across you
the
town. Called it, Tallahassee, yeah. You son of a gun.
Remember what I said?
Okay, hold on.
The mayor,
okay, let's
was
get this
it
crap
it with
over
Corbett?
With. What are my penalties? What are the rest of my penalties?
That's it.
The mayor was in on it?
Yeah.
That was it?
Yeah.
back in season one?
Yeah, in season one. Remember when we were with the cops?
But so is it a push roll every time now, or do I have to relearn
it? You don't have to. You don't have to do that ever again. Now, when you cast that spell, you just cast it. You'll still have to make an opposed POW roll versus somebody else's POW, because you have to push through their will in order to affect them with this spell.
Oh, man, I thought it was going to be like, you're about a madness, and you're a smoothie now.
Yeah. Yeah, you suddenly become
a
smoothie.
Well, you've always been a smoothie. Already.
That definitely happens.
That's already.
I'm smoother now.
Major Aloysius Bakersfield, your headlights going along on this dirt, this narrow dirt trail, is lighting up the trees. You're driving along maybe a little faster than you probably should be, and you see the headlights finally light up the outline of the Jameson cabin as you come skidding to a stop. As your headlights were dancing through the trees, it was playing tricks on you almost. It almost seemed like there were figures and movement all over the place. As you come pulling up, you park, you jump out of the car, and just as you do, you pull the whistle out of your pocket and you blow the whistle into the night air, looking up at the stars that are lit overhead as it is now full dark. You release the spell that you've been casting for the last 50 minutes, narrowly succeeding. as the call goes up into the air and out into the ether and wherever it might be that this creature lives. There's a part of you that knows that it heard it. And so now all you have to do is wait until it arrives. But as you come running up, you see some lights on inside the Jameson cabin. And the door is shut. But as you come running up, in the woods, just to the west, not too far away, you start to hear the sounds, the screeches and roars of something approaching. Billy McConnell, as you and Ezra Denny pull up outside of a darkened shack over on the eastern side of town, you climb out, you give Ezra a look as you both check your firearms one more time, bring them up into a ready position, start heading towards this darkened shack, though it appears to have some sort of firelight on the inside. But you also, at this same time, begin to hear screeches and roars and screams from the west side of town. As it appears that you are running out of time. Tallahassee Turner, you are outside finishing setting up your booby traps.
Booby traps.
Booby traps.
That's what I said, booby traps. You finish planting the dynamite. You set up the beef traps. And you are putting the finishing touches on your final trap that you have prepared. As you also, on the west side of town, begin to hear screams of a different kind coming from lungs and larynxes that do not sound human. Though mixed in, you do hear the screams of humans as they are approaching to the west. Though the night is obscured with smoke and fire, and the sounds of chaos are everywhere, you know that the creatures have arrived, and they are making their way towards you and the rest of this town.
I go running back into the tavern to warn the fellas, and I say, "Gents, get your blenders. It's time to whip some smoothies."
I'm
All right, hey everyone, this is Donovan. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Arkham Files. If you like what you heard, please leave us a 5-star review, share this with your buddies, and check us out at patreon.com/Arkham Files, where you can sign up to get some cool bonuses or boni and support your favorite freaking show. Thanks again for being an Arkham Files listener.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.